to God. All power belongs to him and him alone. Amen. Everybody's good? I feel so nervous. I don't know why, but I do. All right, so like Sister Morgan says, we're talking about the principles of a powerful church. And I'm going to echo the voice of my Baptist daddy. And I'm going to say I want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life. Amen. Who is my creator, my healer, my deliverer, and my redeemer. If he's those things to you, say amen. Amen. And give an honor also to Pastor Anthony and Sister Michelle and their absence tonight. So tonight, as I ask you for a few minutes of your time, I'm going to tag along with Sister Morgan, and we're going to be talking about the principles of a powerful church. And tonight, I'm going to be sharing with you the topic of connecting with our culture. So we're going to start with a familiar scripture you've heard throughout this series, and it's starting with Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 through 19. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Acts 8 and 4. Some of these scriptures are going to be read in a different translation, but it's going to be on the screen in the King James Version. Acts 8 and 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 11 and 9, the New Living Translation. But the voice from heaven came again, and if God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. I just want to put a plug here. If you're speaking negative about yourself, you're telling God he don't know what he's doing. God says you are acceptable. God loves you. He created you just the way you are. So we're speaking negative things against our own selves. We're telling God you didn't do a good enough job. So think about that for a second. Acts 11, verse 17. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Acts 15, 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now, only the Jewish people at this time were evangelized during the first few years of the church existence, and that was done mostly through the ministry of the apostles. And if that trend had continued, only the Jewish would have been saved. And we're the Gentiles. No hope for us. Thank God for change. So let's see what changed. God used internal circumstances, such as the conflict we all read over the ministry of the widows, to teach the church that they needed to share ministry. Then he used external circumstances, such as persecution, to teach the church that they needed to evangelize everywhere. So in order to impact their world around them, they had to reach beyond their current church culture. Everybody say reach. So the church began to modify their method in order to reach the Gentiles, which, like I said, we are the Gentiles. And if they hadn't done that, only the Jewish people would have continued to be reached. So keeping in mind that the cultural change within the church had nothing to do with the changing of the content of the gospel. It was everything to do with the changing of the presentation of the gospel. The gospel message never changed. Once again, everyone say, I need to reach. So as the New Testament saints began to target their efforts in reaching the majority of their culture, God gave them an incredible harvest. And I believe through this series, a lot of us are going to get some revelation. We're going to have understanding, and we're going to begin to reach more than ever. I know this series is already helping me out. So tonight, I'm also speaking to myself. Okay? So let's look at some biblical concepts of targeting. Now, we know that no single congregation can reach everyone. There's language barriers, music customs, and even personal preference. And that's why we're part of a worldwide fellowship. So our congregation choices today will determine who we will reach tomorrow. So what type of fish we catch will depend on the bait that we use, right, Brother Dustin? Can't use worms for everything, right? My husband tried to teach me that, but I don't get it. So to be successful, we must determine who lives in our area and how we can best reach them. And after we determine that, we have to then be intentional about reaching, and that's targeting. And we're going to keep in mind that the Bible itself determines our message, but our target determines how we're going to communicate the message. So let's look at some biblical principles of targeting. Jesus targeted his ministry to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We find it in Matthew 15:24, and he instructed his disciples to do the same. Peter targeted the ministry of the Jews, Paul to Gentiles, Matthew wrote to the Jews, Mark to the Romans, and Luke to the Greeks, and John to the church. So we have four gospels, each written with specific targets in mind. So we can say God himself invented targeting. God did that, right? So when we think about foreign missions, we all know no missionary can go to a country and just go and start talking about Jesus, right? They have to first learn the people. They have to learn the culture. They have to communicate. And looking at this, I thought about Brother Billy Cole. He and his wife went to Thailand. I think they were like 19, 20 years old. And back then, they went on the boat. So there was no flying over there. They went without a team. Nobody went before them. Nobody went after them. So you had this young couple that went to Thailand. He didn't know the language, but he knew he had a calling. And God gave him the ability to learn the language. And he became fluent in that language. If you look him up on YouTube, he's talking the language with some of the people. He became fluent. But God sent him to Thailand. But he just couldn't go over there and speak in English to expect to reach someone. He had to learn their language, their culture. He ate their food. You know, now there's one video he's talking about where they're driving up the road, and as they're driving up the road, there's different gods, and the people would bow down. But he didn't do that. He only learned the language and did other things, but he didn't bow to their gods. And we don't have to do that to reach someone or to give them the gospel. Amen? He did what he had to do to reach, and he won thousands of people in that country. I learned from Pastor Eli. The Hispanic culture, they when they first came, they hug and kiss. We were all like, whoa. Sister Yvette came in all sweet, and she hugged and she kissed you on the cheek, right? That's their culture. That's what they do. But we don't do that, but that's what they do. And Pastor Eli also taught me, we was going on outreach one day, and he was sharing with me the Hispanic culture, when it come down to God, they're very faithful. They're Catholics, and they're very, very faithful. And he says, if you're going to try to win them, you better know your stuff and be ready to prove your point, because they're very faithful people. We have to know the culture of the people. I was reading in the, for us here in the States, we say please and thank you. Some countries, that can be offensive. The Philippines and India, I thought this was interesting. They do stuff for their friends and family just because, and they don't expect for you to say thank you. But what they expect is you to do the same thing for them. That's their thank you. That's how they show their appreciation. Simply, if I'm going to help you, Sister Nancy, then I expect for you to do the same thing. So we can go to some country and say thank you, and we could offend them by saying that. So the whole point is, we have to learn the culture of the people that we're going to reach. So it's just as crucial to understand the people of Harvey if we're going to evangelize our city. Now, I know Sister Candy already knows this. She's a music pastor. Sister Candy is not going to go downtown Harvey and hold a concert and play Bill Gaither. Right? This is Harvey, Illinois. She's not going to create a flyer and say, we're going to go on outreach, we're going to win souls, we're going to have this awesome concert, and we're going to bring in Bill Gaither. It's all about culture. Some of us might like it, but it's all about culture. Right? I remember when I met my husband, we went to see his family, and I didn't know any better. They was playing music. They was playing the country music, and everyone's having a good time, and I was like, and I'm the only black person there. So I was way lost. And they all just getting down. So I waited. And I told my husband, sorry, I didn't think I was going to laugh at this, but I had my husband go and get some Bobby Brown. I says, and he played the song My Prerogative. This was before Jesus now, okay? This was way before Jesus. How many of you know that song, My Prerogative? Be honest. Yeah. So, and my husband didn't know any better. So I said, go out there, just get that. We're just going to play this. And I'm thinking they're going to enjoy it. And before long, they had the same look I had. They was like this. They were trying to figure it out. So anyways, they won. It was their place. I lost. All about culture. So I went back to the country music. So we have to learn where we at to reach the culture. Amen. Here's another way of reaching out. And there are several of you have said this already. I know Brother Tapp has mentioned this. Sister Candy, Brother Ben has always said, you find a common ground when you're talking to someone. You find common ground. And some of you know, I like to work with seniors, and I worked in assisted living as the activity director, so I had the opportunity to bring in a home Bible study, which I brought in someone from the Joliet Church. I love seniors. And no matter what, they like to talk about the end times because they lived a long time. And they can see how the world has changed. So they like discussing what's going on in the world, and they like discussing God. And they will tell you that God is coming. They will tell you that Jesus is coming, right? And so I would take those opportunities to talk to them. And I have witnessed 4 people in assisted living homes get baptized in Jesus' name, 2 been filled with the Holy Ghost, 187 years old, Henrietta was her name. She came out the water speaking in tongues. And I witnessed this. That's my common ground. I love seniors. And God loves our seniors. Amen. Something to remember when we are witnessing or around seniors. They love God. They love God. Henrietta's 87 years old, and she cried the next day. She was going down the hallway with her walker, and she was crying. I said, Henrietta, what's wrong? She says, nobody told me that Jesus was God all my life. She said, I had a pastor. Why didn't he tell me? 87 years old. And I witnessed her come out of the water speaking in tongues in Jesus' name. So find common ground. Jesus' standard approach starts where people are, common ground. He talked to the Pharisees about the law, farmers about the seed, fishermen about fish, the rich young ruler about money, the woman at the well about water, right? We all can have common ground with someone. Now, Paul's standard approach was he would become all things to all men. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 9:20. And this is the Good News translation. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. In the same way, when the Gentiles, I became like a Gentile. And in order to win the Gentiles, I have become all things to all men, that I may save some of them by any means possible. Verse 21 is going to be from the New Living Translation. What I am with the Gentiles who do not have the Jewish law, I fit in with them as much as I can. And this way, I gain their confidence and bring them to Christ. But I do not discard the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. Now, Paul didn't throw away the law. In other words, Paul didn't fall into sin to win people over. He did not fall into sin to win them over. He said he gained confidence to bring them to Christ. Verse 22, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Amen. Now we find that the church council in Acts 15, we find this fundamental question. Does a Gentile have to adopt Jewish customs to become a Christian? No. And the question for us today, does a sinner have to adopt to our church custom to become a Christian? And again, the answer is no. In 1991, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and I had the same access to the throne as everyone else in that room. Did I look like everyone else at that time? No. But I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in his name. I did not immediately look like everyone else. It took time. Sanctification is what? It's a process, right? As we grow in our relationship with him, we become more like him. It's not get the Holy Ghost, now they got to look just like us. We can't fix people. It's our job to reach the lost, share the good news. It's up to them if they will believe it, honor it, love it, obey it, guard it, study it, and it's up to them to submit to it. Amen? Our job is to reach and share the good news of the gospel. So we have to ask ourselves, who are we trying to impress? Our primary goal is service. Our primary goal is not serve us. All too often, we like to have church for the church, right? When we should be having church for the unchurched. Now, we do not expect our service to run according to our preference and our ministries, to operate according to our convenience, or are we more concerned about our visitors' preference and their convenience? Here's a checklist, and this checklist is even for myself, to see if we prefer ourselves over sinners or the unchurched. I'm on this checklist. Do we greet our visitors? Are we on time for pre-service prayer? And do we come ready to stand in the gap for that visitor that will show up? Do we come with the Kenny Stones in mind when we come to church? Do we come with the Miguels in mind? Do we stand and watch as others are praying? Do we come ready to worship God of heaven, the creator of all things, with the sinner in mind, with the unchurched person in mind? Or do we come with the poor me, and do we make service about us? Do we leave every service and we say, man, that was a good service, but not one person filled with the Holy Ghost, not one person baptized in Jesus' name? Have we become careless in our attendance to service? I am a strong, firm believer that one service can change a person's life. And you're looking at one right here. One Wednesday night Bible study changed my life. And it's 28 years later, and I never backslid. One service can change a person's life. Do we come desperate to see someone filled with the Holy Ghost, someone's life to be changed? Are we desperate every day to see someone saved? Do we get excited when we see someone new walk in the church? Do we welcome those who don't look like us, smell like us, act like us, or have our skin tone? Do we come ready to agree and say amen to the preached word? Do we think about positions more than we think about souls? When asked, what is our calling, what do we say? I was called to be a preacher. I was called to be a pastor. I was called to sing. I was called to be an intercessor. These are good things. But rarely do we hear anyone say, I was called to win souls. And I was called to serve. Paul even states, I am a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Servant first. Servant first. Servants serve others. Servants serve others. So winning souls for Christ is what we are called to do, and the message of Christ is essential in doing so. So why do we do what we do? We find in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, whatsoever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us. So if Christ's love controls us, then we should reach, reach, and reach. We should witness, witness, and witness, right? Moving on to essential beliefs, we have unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. We are all of one body, we have the same spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future. This is the New Living Translation. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there is only one God and Father who is over us all and in us and living through us all. We show charity, 1 Corinthians 13 and 2. If I hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but also the very secrets of God, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but have no love, I amount to nothing at all. So while we can clearly see that there were different methods to reach the lost, the message never changed. And we have the same message of salvation today. I'm coming to a close. In John 3, verse 3 through 5, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus say unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3, 16 through 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Acts 2, 37, 38. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did it for you and for me. Now the altar is open right now for you if you want to receive this, if you want to receive the Holy Ghost. If there's anyone here tonight and you have yet obeyed the scriptures, if you are a believer and you're yet filled with the Holy Ghost, this altar is open to you right now. And if you are here and you desire to reach sinners and the unchurched, and you want to recommit yourself, the altar is open for you. Last verse. Jesus has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're in this room and you're in Christ, we have a responsibility. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We have no excuse. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us to pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we have the ministry of reconciliation. So you're in this room and you want to recommit yourself to Christ, that we will reach, and we will reach. This altar is open for you right now. Hallelujah, Jesus.